Look at the time. Look at the time.
Look at the time. It is Hutton O'Clock. It is our favorite time of the week. It is Hutton O'Clock. Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow joins us. And hey, also make your silly underdog picks for your chance to win weekly prizes. You can play at thegamenashville.com or the 1025 The Game app as we approach week 12 of college football and week 11 of the NFL. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Jonathan Hutton, always appreciate our weekly visits with you. I want to go back to the game in Tampa Bay and even back to the game in Pittsburgh. Will Levis has been under almost constant duress over the past 2 weeks. He was hit 13 times this past week. And Willie, you just mentioned that Levis is the 15th most hit quarterback in the league through three games.
Well, I caught the stat. The guys had a good discussion on it this morning. I was driving along in the car, so I didn't write it down or anything, but the gist of it was he's only played the three games, but he's already moved up very high in times being hit relative to everybody that's played. Most of these guys have played seven or eight games,
right?
You know, and a lot of times more.
Yeah. So, but my question for you is, what can Tim Kelly do? What can the Titans' offense do to, or can they do anything to give Will Levis just a little bit more protection?
Yeah, and that's a great stat because I think we'd all agree that part of this is just the rookie part of the quarterback process. I don't think it's all on one specific area. Levis probably has something to do with it as well. But that's alarming because Tannehill is getting hit too. I think they need more run success. They need more. What we saw against Atlanta, where it was a complement of play action, success throwing down the field, intermediate routes. The offensive line is bad, but on first down, they're not getting into a second and manageable situation all that often. And this past weekend is a prime example because on this past Sunday, they faced seven different instances of third and 10 plus. That's a season high for this offense. And through the first 6 weeks, they were seventh in the NFL on first downs that were gained off of first down. And that was a key to their success. If they weren't having success on first down, they weren't having success. Now they're getting blown up. And I think, especially with the rookies, the defensive coordinators or defensive-minded head coaches, they're going to bring the heat. And right now, Levis is 17 of 37 passing on first down. Tannehill was 37 of 57. So I think that molds into its second and third and predictable. And on top of that, I'm not just picking on Levis here, the offensive line isn't going to hold up. And they're also not helping run the football either. And they're only three teams that have fewer first downs on first down yardage than the Titans after 6 weeks of football. So they've got to find a way to not fall behind the sticks, not on the scoreboard, just the sticks, because I mean, second and third down for a rookie quarterback in a passing situation is detrimental, to say the least. And on play action, it's not working. Tampa didn't budge off the play action. Atlanta did, for instance. And I don't think defenses going forward are going to do that either. So, it's a combination of things, but it's not a good stat. And I don't see it improving based on all the different decisions they have to make and all the different changes they're making in game, either due to injury or poor performance. And that's not a good remedy for what needs to happen. Because again, I'll go back to what I said earlier. They've got to run the football in order to help the quarterback. They're not doing that at really any part of the field. There's no explosion in that area.
So here's the stat, and my thanks to the personal texter that hooked me up with this based on the discussion this morning. Will Levis has been hit in his three starts 25 times. So that ranks 14th in the league. Every other person in the top 15 has started at least eight games. So
wow.
If you do the percentage, the percentage of times. So they have pressure percentage is another stat here. He's being pressured on a third of his dropbacks, basically 33% of the time. So even amongst that group, that's way higher. Way higher than even the guys that are getting hit the most. So they've got to get that. They've got to get that number down one way or the other.
Whether it's
not going to last. Nobody could last.
Nobody could last.
And as you mentioned, Hutt, some of it can be under his control. Like, I used to admire, like, Dan Marino, Peyton Manning, some of those guys, even Tom Brady, right? Sometimes you feel the pressure, and it's just like, you know what? I'm throwing it away. They know how to do it. You know, there's a way to do it, right? You can't just throw it up for grabs. But they were so good at, like, you would get excited. Oh, they might actually sack Peyton Manning or Dan Marino. Nope, they're just getting rid of it. They just chuck it. You can't even hit them.
Nope. And if you look at there was a stat out on social yesterday, the day before, about quarterbacks in 2023 that extend the play under pressure. And it's based on 100 dropbacks or whatever they're using this on, this method. And, you know, some of the best in the league are who you would expect. You know, Jalen Hurts, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Russell Wilson, Josh Allen. But at the very end of it is Will Levis, Aiden O'Connell, and then there's Kirk Cousins. So, if Aiden O'Connell doesn't surprise me. Will Levis doesn't either. But right in front of Will Levis was Ryan Tannehill. So they were both bad, and it comes down to a combination of things. But number one is the O-line. That has been such a crucial piece to last offseason that they failed on, and it's coming back to bite them just like it did the last couple of years.
Hutton, what is there enough that the Titans can do in this offseason? Because right now where it stands with the offensive line is not getting much better. Nobody else is walking through that door.
Right.
But looking ahead to next year, which I think is a fair thing to do, sitting at 3-6, is there enough time? Are there enough assets? Do you have enough resources in the offseason to really improve this offensive line as much as the Titans need it to?
Caroline, it comes down to this. The resources are with Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon. Are they going to get the right – are they going to make the right decisions? Because they have the money, they have the cap space. They will have high picks they can get right. So yes, they will have the resources to find guys that can come in and start. I think the big issue, it starts with the missed picks. It starts with the missed players that they've signed and brought in to start, this year and in past years, or guys who they drafted to not start. And it's few and far between on guys that come in and immediately just are ready to go within the lineup. And that's the issue. Can they find those guys, address and point to who they want and why, and have those guys come in and be ready to go? And that's what you have to count on, and or what you can't count on, and what they have to prove, because that's the difference between getting a head start on what is going to be a big rebuild. Where it's quicker right now for us to list the positions where they don't need an overhaul than where they do. And if it's going to be a long and drawn out process, because the biggest check mark they can do over these final eight games is to make sure that Will Levis is the guy, or at least the guy that they're putting their chips behind and saying we're in with him. Because, and I think all four of us and our listeners will maybe, you know, half laugh, half cry at this, but wouldn't it be typical Titans to trade up and draft Will Levis in the second round and then be bad enough to have a top five pick and then pass on one of these quarterbacks in this draft this year because you traded up for Will Levis?
You'd almost have to trade
back. And then those guys, exactly. Or pass or trade back.
Yeah.
And my point being, they would be in position now to go get the quarterback. They would be in the quarterback draft discussion now. And they were last year too, but for different circumstances. If they have figured out by the end of the season that Levis is the investment, because right now I think there's no question he's the investment. They've got to stick behind him, and they have. Are they going to be certain of that? Because we knew they weren't certain of that with Willis. And I think they've got to go in the offseason knowing that that's a check mark on the must-haves of the offseason. And if they get that position checked off before the offseason begins, that is a huge benefit on how they address the other spots. And then it's about them just getting those spots corrected and making the right choices on who they bring in.
Hud, I think there's I'm sure there are people within that building that have watched Will Levis over the last three games, going into four now, considering, you know, what's in front of him, how that roster looks offensively. They think, okay, he is the guy. We've seen enough in him. Poise alone, we've seen enough in him to say, okay, no matter how this season goes, we know what we need to do moving forward. The quarterback is a check for us right now. Even if, you know, they're still going through that process during next season, you feel the quarterback is the check, because to me, they have to, and this is a conversation for the offseason, they have to find a way to build first that offensive line back up and then add more pass catchers for this young quarterback, because that's the way the league's going. But I do want to ask you about the red zone woes. I
like your name for it better.
The red zone woes.
The RZ Dubs.
No, the allergy zone.
Yeah, the allergy. They're allergic. It's the peanut zone. They're allergic to that area. But what I'm starting to realize with this team, I don't think it has, because I'm not going to make the excuse that the league is down across the board, because they are. But when you don't have the ability to run the football inside of the red zone, now you play right into the defense and what they want to do. They want you to pass in the red zone. Why? Because the 12th man is the back of the line, and they know that you can only go so far. Our safeties can play the run and the pass because now we're in the red zone. The Titans got to figure out a way, and it might just be, hey, listen, this is what we're going to do no matter what. They got to find a way to run the ball in the red zone. And then I think that will open up a bit of what they can do in the pass game. Because right now, it seems like they haven't even really committed to running the ball inside of the red zone.
You know, and so if the NFL's down, and they are, scoring's way down, it would be like, so the NFL average in the red zone since the Indianapolis game for the Titans is 16 red zone touchdowns. So just doing the math there, going back to that game to now. So if that's the average, if that's the C-plus grade, and that's down, right? The Titans would be the kid in the classroom that has such a bad grade that the teacher will grade on a curve for the rest of the class. Mm. They have 9 red zone touchdowns since then, and the NFL average is 16. So, yes, I think they've got to – the run game just isn't a threat anywhere on the field as far as the backbreaker type threat. And they're 31st in the red zone in touchdowns and in red zone touchdown percentage. I mean, that's been really bad. And this has been a team that's been really good in that area. So, you know, that's awful. 4 of 15 on red zone chances since the Colts game. Like they can't find points even when they're close to getting points. And if you think about the options for the Titans in the passing game, few and far between, because even the top options, some of them are dropping passes. Burks, when healthy, is dropping passes. Chigakonkwo, others. And then, you know, the big red zone threat throughout his career has been DeAndre Hopkins. But tighter coverage, they can take him away if no one else is going to be a threat. And then, again, the biggest threat should be Derrick Henry. But now they've got Spears in there, and that hasn't been a threat either in the red zone. So I'm with you. But the Titans, to me, Mace, they've got to hit on the big splash plays off of play action. And in order to run in the red zone, they need to be able to run in between in between the 20s. And they're not doing that on a consistent basis either.
Now, would you put that on – who do you put that on? Obviously, listen, the easy and low-hanging fruit is the offensive line. But there has to be – it can't be just that simple to say it's the offensive line, even though – it seems to be the offensive line. It seems like it can't be just that simple.
Well, I think it's just easy to defend the Titans' offense. Mm-hmm. Offensive line, so gap assignment, like the defense against the run, and they were, you know, fine against Tampa, but defense against the run, gap assignments haven't changed in 100 years of the sport. So that's just about man-on-man and winning in the trenches. And I think it does. It starts there, up and down the field for this team. And after that, Henry in the red zone, Henry in between the 20s, he's not taking on two guys as much and breaking through those runs. This past weekend, he's getting tripped up at the ankle, for instance, by one of those tackles. But there's also instances where he's just getting hit the line of scrimmage. And I think also a lot of things play a factor into this, Mace. Penalties, sacks that put them into a second or third and long situation, even not inside the 10, but inside the 20 to the 10. Mm-hmm. That's detrimental to them. And another part of it, too, is right now the head coach who has been known to try to end the game as quick as possible. That's why they went for two, for instance, in London against the Chargers a couple years back. He's looking for the quickest way to victory. He is now settling for field goals instead of the quickest way to victory. And I think that is also something to raise an eyebrow at, because even Vrabel is admitting by making those choices, they're not going to get in the end zone for a variety of issues. And they'd rather go with the reliable kicker than allowing someone to step up and make a play in a big moment. And he's looking for points. He's trying to keep the game within reach and help for a big play. But when it's time to go for it and put it in the end zone, normally in those situations, they're going with a handoff, maybe three straight, or they're going with the kicker when it's fourth down and short. And that's also indicative of, I think, from the offensive line all the way around.
I was, when it was 17-3 and they had a fourth and goal from, it wasn't from the three, you know, it was from the eight or the nine or something like that. And they just ran the kicking unit out there. And I was thinking,
I know.
That tells you a lot. Like, I was thinking mathematically, that's not the play. But it was just sort of a, I don't want to get my quarterback killed and I don't think we can get it in there.
Willie, that's just not with Levis. He did that in week one. He's been doing that all season. He did that in week one in New Orleans as well.
Yep. He did.
And that tells you what faith he has in this offense versus his own belief, because throughout his entire tenure here, it is about trying to put the game away and win the game fast as possible on the scoreboard.
And the one time he didn't do it was at the end of the half against Cleveland, and he would probably show us that play as to why he's been going the other way, right? When Miles Garrett sacked Tannehill, they didn't have any timeouts, and everybody's like, they should have kicked the field goal, you know? You understand the problem, right? They have problems. There's reasons why he's doing that. And so given that, Hutt, they had a good discussion this morning on our morning show about, you know, how much, given the fact how many times Levis is getting hit, how do you call the game with the big picture in mind, right? Do you have to play with the fear that, oh, man, if he keeps getting hit, he's going to get hurt? Or do you just have to put all that aside and say, you know, we're trying to win, and a good quarterback will figure out a way to survive?
I go with the latter. I mean, how can you develop the quarterback with having the fear that he's going to get lit up? I mean, to me, the one area that hasn't been addressed is where is the talk about the faith that the coaches are going to come up with a scheme to help their quarterback? It's not all on one area. It's not because, oh, no one's talking about Vrabel, so let's mention Vrabel. It's just, it's just the idea that, oh, here we are in week 11. The offensive line sucks again. And it's about whether or not Levis should be in there to get, they can tee off on them or not. And it's like, for instance, Jacksonville has 18 sacks. This is a defensive front that, you can't get whipped by them upcoming. This is an issue that is ongoing from a variety of levels. But at the same point, guys can't drop passes. You can't have missed assignments. The communication on the offensive line has been bad. It just missed opportunities. All of that has to come together in order for Levis to really start to grow and develop into not just a quarterback, but a leader going into the offseason. And you can't do that by playing scared and thinking, well, he's going to get lit up and this is going to be they're going to ruin him. I don't think the mental aspect of Levis is at stake. I think the physical injury aspect is, but behind this group, that would be with any quarterback. We've seen that the last 2 years with Ryan Tannehill. I wouldn't approach it with a, you know, tiptoe in and, oh, this is so bad, we're gonna put Malik Willis in there. No, I mean, it would be bad regardless of who you're playing. And this guy needs to play. The time is now.
Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow. Hut, appreciate you as always. We'll chat next week.
Yep. Always enjoy this, guys. You have a great rest of the week.
Yeah, you too. I'd appreciate it. All right, coming up next, we will react to what Hutton had to say, what we heard from Vrabel and from Will Levis. And one of my questions, the issues that the Titans are facing right now, how many of them can they fix now? Or are they all offseason problems? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace. Hey, Preds fans, don't miss tonight's Smashville live show at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue at 6 p.m. You can see your Predators star players up close and personal, get autographs and pictures. This week's special guests are Preds goalies Kevin Lankinen and UC Saros. Smashville Live is brought to you by the Black Abbey Brewing Company.